Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Summer is almost here. If you look outside the window, it is here. And if you haven't made plans already, you might be panicking, searching for summer camps to keep your children entertained over the break. It's a perennial issue for parents. Making arrangements can be fraught with difficulty. I'm joined by Jen Hogan, Irish Times parenting columnist, and journalist Pat Fitzpatrick to chat to us about this. You're both welcome. Thank you for being with us today. You've been writing about this in the paper, in the Irish Times, Jen, talking about parents, two parents, about the problems that they experience when they're trying to book the camps in the first place. Now, it's not only about alleviating boredom, giving them something to do. It's about finding something that works, often alongside the work commitments that the parents have.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose they've really taken a role in terms of childcare for us now. And that's, I suppose, some of the difficulty, because they're set up to be something for the kids to do, but we rely on them very differently. And because they're set up that way, it means that parents find it really difficult to work around, say, the opening hours or the starting times. A lot of the times they won't start at a time that starts
at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, so yeah. You're going, how do I get to work? How do I manage that? Or they finish early, or perhaps I suppose there's an urban-rural issue as well, where if you're kind of out somewhere rural, you then maybe have to get a childminder to get them to a summer camp in an urban setting. And there's loads of different difficulties that have cropped up. But for the camp organisers, obviously, they're running them with a different view in mind. You know, childcare is part of it, but it's about the crack for them, whereas we're coming at it from a very different angle.
Yeah, people have different agendas. And Pat, do the summer camps feature in your family life?
We've two of them lined up at the moment, Claire. So we've Cool Camp, obviously, which is a nice cheap option, right? To pretend to be interested in the GA. But you have to volunteer for that, which I didn't realise, right? So there's lots keeping your head down around February when they're looking for the volunteers. But then the second one, we've an adventure camp lined up as well.
What's that?
And actually just... It's in Fota. I live in Cork, so it's kind of in Fota. So it's basically where they play outside and they swing along ropes. And they did it last year, and I have to say they really love it, because they go with their friends, they make new friends, they do nice things. And it's not that expensive, really.
And is it
160 quid?
160 euros per child?
For 5 days. Ooh.
And is it a full day?
Yeah, I guess. No, it's not. It's, I think, like, is it 9 to 2? Mm-hmm. 10 to 2. But then, you know, as Jen was saying there, we live about half an hour away. So you've got that drop and pick up now. Obviously, you've kind of coordinated with other people and stuff like that, that maybe I'll drop your kids, you pick them up. But, you know, it's still time around both sides. I'm beginning to think it might be easier to move to a campsite in France for the summer if you can work remotely.
Well, listen, if you can do it.
Do an exchange, leave out your own house for the summer, and then they've got free kids camps in these places. And I must look into it, just listening to Jen there. I think it could be cheaper.
Well, I think you're onto something there, because you work from home, Pat, don't you?
I do. And we're lucky that both myself and my wife work from home. I'm full time at home. My wife is 2 days in the office. So, you know, I don't know how people do it. I know people who are doing it who have to go into the office, at least one of them. But yeah, that's really expensive. And again, you're talking about childminders getting lifts to places like that. It's the coordination. It starts seriously at New Year's Day. People start making calendars of what you're going to do during the summer.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the problem.
You have to, though, Jen, don't you?
Planning the whole thing.
You do, because they sell out really quickly. And then you're also trying to coordinate it with friends doing camps, so that, you know, you can try and sell it to your kids as well, once you've kind of sold your soul to pay for all these camps that you need. And then there's nothing, it's very difficult to find something for older kids too. So if you have somebody who's maybe at the preteen years, even though a lot of the camps might advertise as being suitable up to age 12, you won't find many children typically of the maximum age on these camps. So then the ones that are just underneath it, they're not keen to go because they don't want to be with the babies. And there's nothing for the younger teens. There's nothing at all for them. And that's a really tricky one, because, you know, maybe childcare isn't quite the same issue there. They might be able to stay at home on their own if parents are working away from home. They might be okay doing that. But you are conscious. We've got an extra month of summer holidays, obviously, for secondary school kids. So they're hanging around a lot. You're trying to help them be occupied. You're conscious that we've had a pandemic, and it's this good opportunity to mix and do different things. But there's very, very few camps available. And then inclusion is another big one, even trying to find something for, if you have a child, again, maybe with additional needs, trying to find something that will cater for their needs, something suitable. That's a real problem that parents reported back to me.
But now there's a lot of variety out there, isn't there?
There is. There's huge variety, but there's also huge variations in cost. I know Pat mentioned there, like, and you still did with still the sharp intake of breath of
160 euro.
But like, there's some camps that can be up to 350 euro. Again, you're still talking part time. It just depends on what the camp is. And if you have multiple children, and that's 1 week, you're still only looking at 1 week. If you have multiple children, you can be priced out of the market pretty quickly. There's a lot of parents said they're basically, if they're lucky, they're working to cover the cost of the camps for their kids. Yeah. And that's if they're lucky, because others are have been forced into maybe taking the summer off because it just doesn't work.
Well, 160 again, by two or three, that's a lot. That's a huge chunk. That's only 1 week of your summer covered. Anne has been in touch, Pat, and she says, radical thought, but how about letting your kids get bored and see if they can entertain themselves? Shock horror, says Anne.
Presumably,
two vans address there and I'll drop my... If you van's address, I'll drop my kids over to her, actually, because she can see what it's like to have bored kids around the place.
It's really tricky.
I get that. And you have, there is the kind of, you know, I remember Jen in the article as well, that there was mention of the fact that people are saying, you know, there isn't, sometimes you just need to have kids time off. I remember that from the summer holidays as a teenager, particularly kind of sitting at home thinking nobody understood me. You know, that's kind of an part of growing up as well.
You probably still do that, Pat, do you?
But yeah, no, listen, absolutely. Right now, thinking just that. But you know, that's the aspect of that as well then, though, that's all very well. But when you're trying to work, like, you know, if you didn't have to be on a call, for instance, and that's the problem, the nature of work now a lot, is that you're on a call or that you kind of have to be left alone. For a lot of people, or you know, people whose job is on the phone for one reason or another. And that's the problem. You can't have the kids in the house, or you can't have the kids in the house bored.
I know how that ends up, Pat. That ends up with them being on a tablet or on a Nintendo Switch or whatever they have in the house
They know it as well, right? Yeah. So they know it as well. So they start on you early in the morning going, you know, what do you want for breakfast? Before I have anything to eat, can I just say I'm bored? You know, so like straight away, they're buying their Nintendo time or their tablet. Tablet time, but look, you know, it's kind of reality. I suppose you kind of have to deal with it. It comes around anyway, so you kind of have to take it as it comes.
How do you feel about letting children be bored, Jen?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great idea, but I do think it operates off a kind of previous and older age where there was a parent at home all the time and there was somebody to facilitate children being bored. And like Pat says there, if you're on a call, if I think back to the pandemic, and I worked mostly from home, but again, I was doing radio and TV too, and I was broadcasting from my Ford Transit, because otherwise you were likely to get a wallop of a lightsaber, or there'd be kind of kids fighting in the background, and not cutie like the BBC one where the little one waddles in, literally full blown wrestling in the background, not a good look. So you're really conscious, and that's the same with the summer. You know, it's kind of that guilt thing that parents have the whole time. They are conscious the kids need time off, and it's not that they want to be occupying their every single moment. It's that maybe they need to. Although, I mean, some people do obviously want to occupy, but a lot of the time it comes down to need rather than anything else. Mm-hmm. There is a huge, I mean, you do have to feel sorry for the kids. They don't get the same freedom that maybe we had when we were younger. You could go off, disappear if you were chucked out and you came back maybe for neighbours and you were afraid to even go in and use the loo in case your mum didn't let you back out again, but you kind of created your own entertainment, and that was brilliant. But they're not the times we live in anymore. And so we can't keep romanticising about that.
See, we're getting close to the point now of having that conversation around, should the holidays be as long as they are? And certainly when it comes to secondary school, people ask that question all of the time. But children, I find in our own house anyway, they're tired, Pat, at this time of the year. They need the break from school.
The mornings are unbearable. I putting extra honey into their porridge just to get to eat it. It's a me thing. It happens every year. And I'm tired of it. Like, I'm tired of the, you know, I'm looking forward to June. In terms of the length of the holidays, I think they're about the right length. I know that sounds, but even myself, I remember it. I love the fact that it's stretched out for ages. And I know come the end of August, we'll be just delighted handing them back to the teachers. But I kind of think, at this time of the year, definitely you need a big 6 week chunk. I mean, if you're lucky enough to go on holidays, you take 2 weeks of that out and then you have 6 weeks and then they're kind of back to school, you know. I kind of think you do. I think just to get
I think when you have secondary schoolers, you view it differently because, you know, the younger teens find it very difficult to get work. So it's hard to find them or to get them occupied. It's hard to find something to keep them occupied. You know, they're hanging around. They certainly feel it by the end of it. It's lovely to get the break. And I always enjoy the first few weeks, especially the break from homework. You know, that's the big thing. The break from homework, the break from lunches, the break from the school run, the break from routine, owning your evenings again. All of this, that's fabulous. But I do think they're probably a bit too long, if I'm honest, because they're the kids are, by the end of the holidays, even the kids are looking forward to going back. They're looking forward to seeing their friends. They're not looking forward to homework. They're not looking forward to having to maybe get up early and all the rules about tablets and stuff coming back in again. But you do need that structure. But it's really, really noticeable with the younger teens. It's a very, very long period for them to be off school.
Because there aren't camps for them.
Because there aren't camps. And it's 3 months. Like 3 months is a long time to not have the structure of school in your life.
John has been in touch and he says he grew up on a farm. You never say you're bored. Rookie mistake. You get a job fairly quickly. See, I just don't know if that works anymore either.
Actually, because we live across from there's a potato farmer. We live in the country now. There's a potato farmer across the road, and I'm waiting till ours are old enough to be able to go over there and work for him. And just the first mention of the word, get down that road. And so I think so. No, I think that there is still that. I take the point that it depends where you're living as well. As to where they can go. But there are people around here do seem to work during the summer, all right.
Yeah, well, you're nearly there. Although the potato farm, I'd say you could do that this year, John. Or Pat, I'd say you could have done that when they were 6 or 7, you know, go and pull a few spuds.
Never too young.
Never too young. Exactly. Yeah. Strawberry picking, potato picking, blackberry picking, whatever they're picking, anytime they could do it. In an ideal world, though, Pat, what would be the solution?
For me, the solution is that I'd actually be kind of like somebody in succession and that I've loads of nannies looking after my kids and that I wouldn't even notice the summer, really, that I wouldn't notice this extra kind of ripple effect.
There'd be no change in your life.
But, you know, look, I suppose maybe I'm at the optimistic end of the summer now when the weather hasn't been nice for the first time this year. I love the summer and I love, as Jen was saying, I love not having the routine and I'll get tired of it come August. But I know it's a pain and it really is a pain every year and it's getting a bit harder. But I still love this time of the year and the kids could love it. And I think we're all due a break as well, you know.
Yeah, I know. And you're right. You think back on your own childhood and you remember that time stretching out in front of you in the long evenings and you can't beat it. Thank you so much, Pat Fitzpatrick and Jen Hogan,
pleasure,
for joining us on the programme. That's it for today. Thank you for listening. You can catch up with anything you might have missed on the RT Radio app. The programme was produced by Barbara Feeney, researched by Emma Cawley. Our broadcast coordinator is Jarnath Holland and Harry Buckless was on sound. It's over to Louise.
Thank